years, and some advocates are saying we need to take our cue from Egypt, where they have brought in a law making street harassment illegal. Well, if you have a story, send us an email, because our next guest is going to talk about street harassment and why it's still happening at such alarming rates. Send me a note, though, if you have a personal story you would like to share. Weekend News at CKNW.com. That's Weekend News, all lowercase. It's all one word, at CKNW.com. And I will share those stories because my next guest is an expert on the topic. She's also the author of Stop Street Harassment, Making Public Places Safe and Welcoming for Women. We will chat with Holly Curl coming up right here on the World Today Weekend. Well, every woman, I would guess, at some point, if you have walked down a public street, you have experienced either a whistle, a remark that you didn't particularly like, or some other form of street harassment. At least the studies and surveys show it does happen quite often. So how do we stop it? Who is leading the charge on stopping this happening so women feel safe going out in public? My next guest is an expert on this. She's also a national street harassment expert based in Washington, D.C., and an author. Holly Curl joins me on the line. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Jill.
How much of a problem, or how big of a problem, do you think street harassment is?
I actually think it's quite a big problem worldwide. There's various formal studies conducted in different United States cities and then different countries showing that at least 80% of women have had these unwanted experiences. And then in an informal survey that I conducted of more than 800 women in 23 countries, 99% of them said they've had these sort of experiences.
And how do we define street harassment?
That's always a hard question. Street harassment doesn't have a standard definition the way something like rape or sexual harassment in the workplace does. And I think that's something that really needs to change. But I can give you a definition written by the first people who spoke out on this issue in 1981. And she says, street harassment occurs when one or more strange men accost one or more women in a public place, which is not the woman's work site. Through looks, words, or gestures, the man asserts his right to intrude on the woman's attention, defining her as a sexual object and forcing her to interact with him.
All right. So talk a little bit then, because when we talk about street harassment, and we talk about women walking down the streets, I think we tend to think about the stereotypical construction site and the whistles and the wolf whistles, which unfortunately still happen to this day. I don't understand why, but they still do from time to time. But it does tend to go far beyond that.
I was surprised actually to find out among the people that I had had asked about their experiences, over 87% that they were the target of a sexist comment. So it's not just like the hey baby type of things, but it's like anti-woman comments. 75% of them have been followed by an unknown man in public. More than 37% of them have been the target of masturbation. And I think really upsettingly, 57% said they've been touched or grabbed in a sexual way by a stranger in a public place. And then it was about 27% said they'd actually been assaulted.
And you did your research, or you did your survey looking at different countries. Did you find some countries had much higher rates than others?
I had most people were from the United States. I had a handful from other countries, so I really couldn't compare in that way. But I know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but I know Egypt and India and Yemen are three places where there have been recent formal studies conducted. And so, for example, in Delhi, 95% of the women said like their mobility was restricted because of male harassers, and 82% said the bus was actually the most unsafe place for them. In Yemen, it was 90% of the women had been sexually harassed in public places. And in Egypt, a study from 2008 showed that 83% of Egyptian women had experienced sexual harassment in the street at least once.
But looking at Egypt, isn't Egypt one of the countries that's actually doing something about street harassment?
Yes, they are, actually. About 5 years ago, the Egyptian Center for Women's Rights, they were really noticing a trend in women talking about this issue. And so they conducted this study, which had found that 83% of Egyptian women experiencing sexual harassment. And they have been working to get legislation introduced and passed in their parliament. Because actually right now in Egypt, there is no sexual harassment law, even for the workplace or school. So they were making it, and they were successful in introducing one earlier this year. And this law would against sexual harassment in the workplace, in schools, in public places, and through electronic means. So it's very comprehensive.
And do you think it's a law that will be able to be enforced?
I don't know. I don't really know enough about the way the laws work in Egypt, but hopefully it can be. But, I mean, from different news articles I've read, and I do have an activist contact there that I've, you know, discussed this with a little bit. The police really need to change their attitudes, too, because right now women who are even groped, which, you know, should be a crime and is a crime, are being told by police that it's their fault, and, you know, the police aren't really doing anything about it. So even if there is a law in place, the law enforcers need to take that law seriously and actually enforce it. So we'll see, you know, if the law passes and if that social shift happens among police officers or not.
It does seem like there's a bit of a disconnect, because I know you've written about this as well, in that, you know, it's not legal for anybody, man or woman, to be sexually harassed at work or in the workplace. And many employers, thankfully, take that very seriously. And there are repercussions. There are means to, you know, file a complaint and to make sure it's dealt with. Whereas you walk onto the street into a public place, and sure, it's illegal to grope someone, it's illegal to assault someone, but like you said, there are so many other ways that this can be done, and there's really no, it doesn't seem like there's much recourse to it.
No, there really isn't. I mean, some cities, you know, have passed, I can't think of any off the top of my head, so I probably shouldn't even get into this I can't really sound intelligent on it, but, you know, there are a few laws that are against basically sexual harassment, but I don't really think that they're enforced, and they're, you know, very low level. And I think that some of the issues are that in the workplace, you know, it's detrimental to employers if their employees are being harassed and are harassers. It impacts work productivity, it impacts, you know, job turnover. So it's in their interest to address it. I think right now in public spaces, you know, the decision makers or the people in power aren't really impacted in negative ways, or they don't realize maybe that they're impacted in negative ways. So there's not a lot of incentive for them to do anything. So I think that, you know, something we need to do is raise awareness about how street harassment negatively impacts women's lives in real and concrete ways, so that decision makers see that there is incentive for them to do something about it.
Well, and do you think the issue is being raised, or we're getting more attention paid to it? I know there are websites or blogs like Hollaback, the New York City one, where women can share their experiences and they can talk or write openly about what's happened to them. I mean, is that helping get the word out there and to get more attention paid to it?
Yes, I think the internet has been a great vehicle for people who are trying to work on this issue. Because it's a great way for, you know, people to share their stories, whether it's on a blog like Hollaback, or if it's on their own personal blog, or, you know, their MySpace page, or people tweet about it, too, like, because I try to track that information. So it's a way to really get that out there in a way that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. You know, before the internet, you could just sort of tell friends, or maybe write an underground sign or something. But this is really a way to get the word out there. And you know, people, journalists or whoever who do searches, like, do come across these, and it can kind of raise awareness in that way. So I think it's been a great vehicle for helping.
How much is it as well, and not at all saying that women bring this upon themselves or women should be able to fight back or should be in the position where they feel they need to fight back, but how much of it is as well confrontation? And in that, if you are walking by, and I keep using the example of a construction site, but simply because it's coming to my mind, not saying that that's the only place this happens, but if you're walking by a construction site and a man whistles or makes a gesture or says something, how much is it for women, you know, if you continually walk by that and let it happen, it's going to keep happening. I find if you stop and confront a man on that, more times than not, he gets embarrassed and is not expecting to be confronted or questioned about it.
No, that's a really good point. There are a lot of people who advocate strongly for women to respond if they feel safe enough to. There's a lot of different suggestions, just asking, why did you do that? Or can you repeat yourself? Just makes them realize that you're a real person and they're being called out on what they just did. Some people have said funny things that sort of make fun of the harasser, and it gets the other men to laugh at him and he's embarrassed. But I think what I have found, and why I don't always advocate for that now, is that even when women do that, there's still a risk that man's going to turn around and get aggressive or assault them. And I think that the biggest problem with harassment for women is they can ignore a harasser, they can respond assertively, or they can, go and punch him. And he probably is going to be a stronger person than the woman is, and may, in any of those three instances, turn around and hurt her. So I really, I think that as long as, women certainly can try to empower themselves if it helps them to turn around and, say something or embarrass the guy or try to get him to stop, but I don't think it should be women's responsibilities to have to, because it can still put you in danger. So at the end of the day, we need to try to focus on men and getting them to stop.
Oh, definitely. And I think it also goes to the different types, like you talked about off the top. And it's very, very different. I mean, I find a lot of harassers are cowards. And kind of loser stands behind a construction fence and calls out to random women walking by? And in that case, I mean, I wouldn't feel unsafe confronting him, especially through a fence or wherever he might be.
Mm-hmm.
Much different, though, if you find you're being followed home along a street, if it's a group of men, if it's someone making rude gestures, and you really don't know what you're dealing with.
Right. Yeah. So your response can really vary. But I think that's something unfair for women too, to really have to decide in an instant, how am I going to respond? Do I feel safe enough? Who else is around? What can I do? But I think that the point you're trying to make is that, especially, in the U.S. and Canada, women are socialized to be quiet and submissive and to just walk on. So I think it really can be powerful to turn around and stand up for ourselves and to say something and maybe make the man think twice about harassing a woman again.
My guest is Holly Curl. She is a national street harassment expert. She's based in Washington, D.C. She's also the author of Stop Street Harassment, Making Public Places Safe and Welcoming for Women, talking about the prevalence of street harassment all around the world and specifically here in Canada as well as the United States. I'll open up the phone lines as well. Have you got a story about street harassment? Are you a woman who's been harassed on the street? If so, how did you deal with it? Did it change the way you spent time in public? Did it stop you from walking at night or walking in certain areas? Give us a call if you would like to join in the conversation. *9898 on your cell phone today, 604-280-9898, and 1-877-399-9898 is a free call for you. We will continue with your calls and Holly Curl coming up.
I'm nervous.
Don't be. First time's always intense.